we're going to make this ride at about 10 minutes, and then we'll let you guys head on to whatever your day holds. I want to cover three issues this morning in this brief congregational meeting. The first is my health. The second is a quick sort of glimpse at the budget. And then finally talk about some COVID-19 things. So first of all, starting with my health, many of you know that back in February, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. And again, totally out of the blue, didn't have any of the, you know, sort of the traits that might have been linked with colon cancer. But thankfully, my doctor found out and, you know, got me into surgery within a week of finding it. And so I'm really thankful that that discovery was made quickly, that the surgery happened quickly, was successful. I have some pretty cool scars on my stomach. So if you have a pool party, I'll make sure to show those to you if you're interested. Had about a foot of my colon removed, and then really over the course of the next few months, went through the process of healing. And it feels like such a surreal, distant memory to me now that pretty frequently somebody walks up to me in Rome and they put their sort of hand on my forearm right here and they go, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, "Is something wrong with me? Like, I don't even, you know, what is wrong?" Anyway, and then I realized, like, oh yeah, they're asking me how I'm doing because I was diagnosed with cancer. And so I realized, like, I probably need to tell people how I'm doing. And the answer to how I'm doing is I'm doing great. It's that internally I've healed up very well. Externally I've healed up very well. Awesome. Thank you guys. I got a lot of people that I could say thank you to for the way that they loved us and took care of us through all that process, but I'm doing great. And so I'll go back in at the end of January or in February to get checked out again. I've got, you know, doctor's appointments every now and then to check and see how things are going. But again, some of you know this, but basically when they took out the portion of my colon, they took that out as well as 14 lymph nodes. They sent that off to pathology, and had the cancer spread into those lymph nodes or any of the surrounding area, then I would have had to do chemo and some other things. And the good news is it came back and it hadn't spread outside into those lymph nodes. And so I didn't have to do chemo. All I've got to do is eat right, get enough rest, and be a little careful lifting heavy objects. But other than that, I'm doing pretty great. Oh, and by the way, I lost about 15 pounds and have put all of it back on. So anyway, got that going for me. I thought maybe I could maintain it, but turns out the fried pickles and Coke at Moe's are too tempting. Anyway. All right, that's BP's health. Thank you guys for praying for me. I appreciate it. And again, I appreciate your continued prayers. Number two, the budget. Okay, so obviously the last 8 months have been just chaotic for everybody. I was at my parents' church several weeks ago, and I think their giving was down. It's a big church, probably 2,000-member church. Their giving was down about 20%. We run our budget on a June to July sort of budget. And so from 2019 to 2020, that's sort of our budget year for last year. And so four of those months were months where we were sort of locked down due to the coronavirus. And so that meant that 4 months of our giving was probably pretty impacted. The good news is that at the end of the 2019-2020 budget year, we still came in the black. And so we still came in under budget, which is absolutely fantastic news. So praise the Lord for that. And if you happen to see Steve Briggs, say, "Hey, Steve, thank you for budgeting conservatively." So that's 2019-2020. Obviously, it's been 8 months since sort of the relative lockdown occurred. So that gives us 8 months of data to sort of look at our monthly giving. And so we've created the 2020-2021 budget based upon those 8 months of numbers. And we've adjusted our budget to assume about a 15% drop in where our budget was last year. Now, it's entirely possible that we could exceed that. That'd be great if God sees fit to do that. But again, the good news is we've chosen in this to budget pretty conservatively. Anybody that wants hard numbers or more specific data, come up and see me afterwards or set up a meeting and we can talk about that. So BP Self budget. And now we're going to talk about sort of the state of our church in light of the coronavirus and COVID-19. Let me just say this. I'm sure that many of you are ready to be done with 2020. I'm sure that many of you wish the coronavirus would just sort of disappear in a puff of smoke. Obviously, there have been the physical risks that we've all sort of had to live with that are associated with this disease. For all of us, there's been an ambient anxiety that we've carried consciously, maybe subconsciously, over those last 8 months and maybe carry still to this day. I'm particularly aware of the spiritual impact of the coronavirus. I'm very aware of the spiritual impact of not worshiping together in person regularly. I'm acutely aware of the spiritual impact of not having groups that are meeting regularly. I mean, this has really damaged us spiritually in some ways. And of course, there is an economic impact that is still yet to be realized. Our leadership team, or what we call the session, our group of elders, has been meeting regularly via Zoom and sometimes in person to talk through all of these factors. Over the last 8 months, we've met numerous times a month to talk about how to handle everything. And it was precisely because we as a leadership team were aware of the spiritual, emotional, and relational risks and damage that was occurring that we chose to begin meeting in public for corporate worship. Again, we basically understood there's this physical danger that the coronavirus is presenting us with, but there are also these other dangers, and we wanted to sort of hold those two things in balance. And we felt that it was worth the risk to care for the people of Seven Hills Fellowship holistically to begin offering services again. Now, the week before last, we had several people from the church who tested positive for COVID-19, and so we canceled some events we had going on in order to appropriately take the necessary steps to limit any further exposure. But that occurrence made us aware that we needed a better plan to communicate internally amongst the staff and leadership of Seven Hills Fellowship, as well as externally, the next time we became aware of a positive test. And so the good news is it sort of has forced us to begin creating some more detailed plans around how to respond to the coronavirus, around how to communicate to it, and also how to minimize the chances of another outbreak occurring. In the meantime, let me ask that those of you who are here this morning and listening again in the digital ether, that you will do your part in helping us as a church protect not only our people, but that you would continue to help us protect our extended families. Many of you have older aunts and uncles and grandparents who might be at greater risk than we are. And also help us protect our little town of Rome, Georgia. You know, our vision statement is that we want to be a church that is working towards and praying towards the flourishing of our city. So let's do our part to protect Rome, Georgia. And so the particulars around all of this, we'll get out more particulars as we sort of develop our plans. But at all church events, again, let me just remind you that masks are required. And so again, if it's in the great room or if it's in here, if it's at youth group, if it's at children's ministry, if whatever the case may be, masks are required and all other aspects of social distancing need to be practiced as well. We're actually going to go a little bit deeper in terms of tightening up worship, tightening up children's ministry, and tightening up youth ministry. So even as we expand what we're offering, we're actually going to begin being a little bit tighter on how we operate each of those things. And so part of what we're going to have children's ministry and youth ministry do is we're going to have forms and registrations that go out so parents can register their kids for children's ministry or youth ministry, answering a certain number of questions so that we really tighten up our process of allowing people to sort of take advantage of what we're trying to offer here at Seven Hills Fellowship. And so again, I just want to ask people to sacrifice for the sake of the church, sacrifice for the sake of your extended families, and to sacrifice for our town. And let me say one last thing. I want all of this, again, not to be motivated by guilt, not to be motivated by shame, not to be motivated by fear, but rather to be motivated by love, right? We want to do this as a way in which we can be loving towards one another, that we can be loving towards one another's extended families, and we can be loving towards our community here in Rome, Georgia. In the email link that went out, Katie put an invitation for you guys to submit questions. And so I'll let you know that was in the 7 at 7 for last week. We didn't get any questions that I saw, but let me ask you to go to that link and submit any questions you might have. And then maybe we can come back around and have another congregational meeting before too long and try to hit some of those questions in particular. For any of you who want to come up and talk to me afterwards, that would be great too. Any elders that are here this morning have anything they'd like to offer? Or do you guys feel like we have covered things well enough? I see a thumbs up. Two thumbs up. All right, let's pray. Father, thanks for the people of Seven Hills Fellowship. I thank you that you have called us together to be a family. And Father, that family is really pulled together and united by the grace and the mercy that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that our morality, that our Christian lives would not flow out of judgmentalism or self-righteousness, but I pray that we'd be fueled by gratitude, Father, that we would be so amazed at the grace and the mercy that you've shown us that we just have to treat others in that same way, with grace, with mercy, and with love. We pray these things now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.